But if you want to turn your books, the book of you have your notes, I think. So let me get my notes out real quick. Second Peter 1, and really I want to just kind of give you 3 points today, because I think one of the things that I've learned, especially this year, these 3 words have really played a huge role, because one of the saddest things for me as a chaplain is having an athlete come up to you and say, "Coach, promise me," right? And how many times has someone says, "You promised me"? And it's so easy to make a promise to people, and again, with great intentions. And as I was reflecting this week about that word promise, back in 1986, I think it was, as before we came to Christ, I would use that word promise so many times with good intentions. And really, I asked myself, how many times did I promise myself that I would change? Because again, and I wanted to change, I just didn't have the power to change. And how many times did I promise my wife that I wouldn't do that anymore, or I wouldn't, you know, struggle with drug addiction or alcoholism, but yet I didn't have the power to do that. And again, I had great intentions of saying, man, I promise that I'll change. And I want to use that first word, promise, because I think one of the things that I've learned, that there's 3 things, these 3 things can either bring freedom or they can take away freedom. And I think a lot of times we use the word promise so kind of just out of, it's so easy to use. But I want you to think about this, is if we're going to talk about the word promise, which again, it means a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. I mean, we're good, but we're not that good. And again, for me to promise something with good intentions and not having the power to fulfill that, that could cause damage. And I think a lot of times we use the word, hey, I promise, because it gives us an extension. It allows us to kind of put people like, hey, I promised you something, so you're going to give me more time. And in God's word, there's in 2 Peter 1:3, this is such a powerful reminder for us. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. In verse 4, and because of his glory and excellence, look at what he says here, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And look at this, this is the key right here. View all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. And again, I think of this, when I respond to man's promises, I can kind of have some sort of hope with that. But I love that Peter says, make every effort to respond to God's promises, because you think about this, how many promises have you been kind of devastated because that promise was never fulfilled? And I think a lot of times there's people, even today, that are waiting for a promise to be fulfilled, and you're like, why? And again, it doesn't mean that I can't trust someone. It just means that I can't stand on somebody's promise, because what if they don't fulfill it? And I think sometimes we do a disjustice to each other by using the word promise so easily, and yet when you don't fulfill it, you're the one that's disappointed. And I think about this, even the promises to yourself, you may be waiting for you to fulfill a promise that you made to yourself, or someone made you that promise. And I think a lot of times when these athletes come up to me and say, like, man, coach promised me more opportunity. Coach promised me that he'd give me a shot. And I get that. But again, if you allow yourself to be put in a position where you're waiting for a promise to be fulfilled, always remember it's man making you a promise, not God making you a promise. And guys, and I understand it, because I think I've struggled early in my walk with God, is that using that word promise and thinking about, man, if I use the word promise, it's going to somehow justify what I just said. And in God's word, man, we all know that God's promises are not only can you stand on those, but you can rely on those every time he promises you something. And I put in our notes there, are we responding to God's promise? Or whose promise are you responding to? Because I want to respond to my wife's promise, and I can rely on those. But what if I just responded to God's promises? Would that change the way I operate? And guys, so many times it's so easy in each other, especially with relationships that are close to us, is that, man, just using that word, I promise you, babe, I promise I'll get that done. And guys, we make a lot of promises, right? Amen? Like, I promise I'll do the yard next week, right? It doesn't get done. I promise I'll get that done. I promise I'll do this. And then we break a promise. Why is it so easy to use the word promise? Why do we make promises to each other all the time? And all of a sudden, we just assume that and we hope that it's going to happen. And the second part I put on your notes is, don't allow a broken promise to hinder us from standing on God's promises. Because I think a lot of times, at some point, after a while, after you've promised so many times, your promise doesn't mean anything anymore. Because you've broken it so many times. We've broken it so many times. And I really want to challenge us this morning in thinking about these three principles. Is like, why do we feel the need that we have to make a promise? Even to ourselves. Why don't we just do what God's called us to do and not worry about making a promise? Because again, you're setting yourself up and you're setting other people up when we start using that word promise. And I always think about this extension that it gives us. I'm like, if I want to do something, why don't I just go out there and do it? And I don't have to rely on other people's promises. I get to stand on God's promises because he'll never go back on his promise. Guys, and I think it's important for us to think about this. If I'm not responding to God's promises, who am I responding to? And just a quick note on here. Many times we are waiting for someone to fulfill a promise. What are we waiting for? If God's already made you a promise, you know he's going to fulfill that promise. And the challenge for us, as I think about this, is that if God is asking you and I to respond to his promises, this is what happens. And he says in that verse, he says, make every effort to respond to God's promises, because this is what happens, because you can supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. You think about this. When you respond to God's promises, imagine what it empowers you to do. You can start utilizing these principles that God gives us because you're responding to his promise, not man's promise. And we all know, man, it's so easy and comforting. And again, even a short temporary time that a promise allows us to have. And I get, we got to stop relying and responding to man's promises, guys. We do. And again, and it doesn't mean that you can't trust someone. It just means that I'm not going to stand on someone's promise if that promise is not coming from God. Because it creates this self-awareness for me, is thinking about, okay, he made me a promise, so hopefully he'll make that promise come true. And guys, we do ourselves a disservice of allowing other people to give us this false expectation that comes with the promise. And I've seen so many of our athletes, man, that they're disappointed because they put everything, even now we're in this NIL kind of generation, as, hey, you come over here, I promise you I'll give you this much. And we all know what happened to the quarterback at Las Vegas last year, right? They had offered him like $1.3 million, didn't get that money. Third game of the season, he leaves. Why? Because they promised him something. He moved and he came to UNLV for one reason, because they promised him something. And how many times do you and I, we do something off of a promise and then that promise is broken? Who's the one that's left there hanging? You are, me, I am. And I think we got to be careful in the way we go about accepting promises from man versus accepting promises from God. And I want to encourage us to think about this, man. And I wrote down in our notes there, don't allow a broken promise to hinder us from standing on God's promises. Because I think after a while, there are so many promises that have been broken that you assume when God makes a promise, the same thing is going to happen. It doesn't work that way. We've all been disappointed. We've all been, you know, had our heart broken because somebody didn't fulfill a promise. And yet we read God's promises, and all of a sudden we kind of think, well, he's going to let me down on his promise. He's not. And I share that because there's another verse on Joshua chapter. Look at what it says here. At the end of Joshua's life, look at how cool this is. Joshua 23:14. He says, soon I'm going to die. Okay, this is at the end of Joshua's life. Look at the statement he makes. I will die going the way of everything on the earth. Deep, look at this. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not even one has failed. I mean, can you imagine living your life knowing that, hey, God made you a promise that he'll never go back on that promise? Not only does that empower us to live out these principles, but to know that God made you a promise that he'll never go back on. You can rely on that promise. You can stand on that promise. Why? Because God doesn't promise like man promises. God's promises you can stand on. And so I love this, and I pray at the end of my life, man, that I'm going to make that same statement, is that God never went back on a promise he made you, he made me. And I pray this morning, just think about that, man, embrace and respond to God's promises. Are you responding to God's promises? Or whose promise or what promise are you responding to? And I think about this, man, making adjustments in our life. This is one of the most critical adjustments that we have to make. What if we just started responding? Like, hey, I heard you say, make me a promise, and that's good. But I'm going to stand on his promise because I know I can stand on that promise. Point number two. So we talk about the word promise. The second word is the word privilege. And think about this. Privilege is a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or a group. And look at Romans 12:3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. And the reason why, again, you think about this, in this entitled society that we live in now, it's like, I deserve this, right? Like, I have the right to this. And I love Paul's statement is that, man, I consider it a privilege because of the authority that God's given me. Do we consider a privilege or a right? And because I think a lot of times when I consider it a right, it's selfish. But you guys all know it's almost like the word privilege turns a have to into a get to. Like, I get to be your husband, I get to be this, or I get to go to practice. That's a privilege. You don't have to do things. And the word privilege allows us to create some freedom based upon, hey, what a privilege that I get to serve Jesus Christ. That you get to be a husband, that you get to be a father, you get to be a wife and a mother. That's a privilege. That's not a right. And I think sometimes we lose sight of, like, hey, well, I deserve to be here. No, you don't. We don't want what we deserve. Yet Jesus Christ paid a price to give us the privilege to be able to serve him on a full-time basis. And think about this, and I think a lot of times, when was the last time you told somebody that you live with, it's a privilege to walk this journey alongside of you? It's a privilege, it's not a right. Because there's freedom that's created when you understand that God's given you and I the privilege to live this life that no one else can live but you. And you think about this, there's only one race that you can run, and it's your race. That's the privilege. I don't have to run someone else's race. I have the privilege to run my own race. Because he says, everything I need is what? It's found in my race. It's the privilege that allows us the joy in the journey. And you guys, we just came off a series of joy, right? You want to steal joy from your life? Take away the privilege and see what happens. Like, oh, I get to be here. Because why? Because we're so special? No. Because God's giving you the privilege to live the life that you're living right now. It doesn't always have to be good. You don't always have to like it, but it's still a privilege to run your race because no one else in this worldwide world can run your race but you. That's a privilege, guys. It's a privilege. And that never take it for granted that, man, it's not a right. It's always a privilege. The second thing on our note I put on there is the word authority. In what authority are you living life through right now? Yours or God's? Because when you take away the privilege, then you got to run your own race under your own strength, under your own power. But when you consider the privilege to live for Jesus Christ, we get to live under his authority. Not only under his authority, but he gives you the authority to go out there and live the life that, man, he wants you to live. And I think sometimes we lose sight of this, man, is that, man, in what authority am I living under? Because, guys, there's a lot of talented people out there, a lot of powerful people out there, but it's still limited. When I walk in God's authority, man, I tap into a resource that's so much greater than my own. And that's what God's reminding us of here, man, because of the privilege and the authority that God has given me. Do you consider the privilege that God's given you the authority and the ability to go out there and live your life? Don't take the privilege out of the word, out of your journey. And I think sometimes we lose sight of it and say, like, hey, I have to be here. No, you don't. You get to be here. And the third word I put down is evaluation, right? Are we being truthful with ourselves? Because when you consider it a privilege and you're walking under his authority, we don't have to pretend anymore. You are who God made you to be. Is that we don't have to make ourselves look better than we are. God knows what's going on in our lives. But this authority that he's given us and this evaluation, man, we get to evaluate. Most times, especially in the sports world, we always compare ourselves with someone else that's doing the same thing we are. That's not the way God's asked us to evaluate us. You want to evaluate yourself with anything? Evaluate with who your God is. And let's see how that works out. And not in a bad way, but in a way where, like, man, I get to compare myself under the standard that God has created for us. Not because we're perfect or we have it all together, but because he has it all together. And the evaluation, are we being truthful with ourselves? Because if you consider it a privilege and you walk in his authority, you look in the mirror like, yeah, God's got some work to do, absolutely. I don't have to pretend we're better than we are, guys. We don't. And I love, like he says here in this evaluation, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Because anytime you kind of look away from the true evaluation of yourself, you're creating a false kind of identity of who you are. Guys, and we know, man, there's some work to be done. Man, we're kind of approaching 38 years that we give our lives to Christ. And man, God still has a lot of work to do in our lives. So we don't pretend we have it all together. But again, the privilege and the authority and the evaluation, like, God, what do you want to work in my life? What are you trying to show me in my life? Where do I get better in my life? Because until we take our last breath, guys, God's always going to be working in our lives. And we don't have to evaluate ourselves with anybody else. Evaluate yourself based upon the person that God made you to be. That fourth point, you think about this faith. Are we relying on our faith or the faith that God gave us? And it's so easy, again, even for us, is that, man, we can rely on someone else's faith because they have a lot more faith than we do. God says, no, walk in the faith that I've given you. Not what I gave them, what I gave you. See, God doesn't want you to walk in someone else's faith. He wants you to walk in the faith that he gave you. Because you need that faith. And that faith that he gave you is the one that's going to allow you to live a life that's exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. That's the faith that God's given you. You don't need more faith. You have to utilize the faith that God's given you to live the life he wants you to live. And think about this for us. The faith, like he says in that verse, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Not the faith that you don't have, but what are you doing with the faith that God's given you right now? Guys, because you can do more with the faith that God's given you that you could ever think or imagine right now. That faith can take you further than you can take yourself right now. And so I love these verses here in verse 3, because of the privilege and authority that God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. I mean, what a powerful reminder for all of us. It's like, man, you know what? God, allow me to walk in the faith that you've given me Not the faith that I don't have, but the faith that you've given me. Because the more I utilize the faith you've given me, the more impactful and more empowered I am to live by faith, not by sight. Guys, what an opportunity we have this morning to evaluate ourselves by the faith that God's given you. Amen? So let's look at those three things. The first one being the word promise. The second word being the word privilege. And the third point, Isaiah 46. To whom will you compare me with? Who is my equal? Some people pour out of their silver and gold. They hire a craftsman to make a god from it. Then they bow down and worship it. They carry it around on their shoulders, and when they set it down, it stays there. It can't even move. And when someone prays to it, there's no answer. It can't rescue anyone from trouble. Do not forget this. Keep this in mind. Remember this, you guilty ones. Remember the things I have done in the past. For I alone am God. I am God, and there's no one like me. Only I can tell you the future before it ever happens. Look at what he says here. This is my third point. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. And the reason I say that, because you think about the word plan, right? How many times have we said to each other, well, that plan didn't work out, right? Or that didn't go as planned. We had all this planned, and we thought that we had it all set up, all together, and it didn't work out. And it's the same concept, is that when you make a plan, again, there's no guarantees. When he makes a plan, that comes with guarantee. And you may not always like the way God is planning your life, but I'll tell you what, if God's going to have the last word in your life, you can take it to the bank. Amen. That he's going to fulfill that plan. And I think so many times our plan interferes with God so many times, right? Like, God, I really have a good plan. Whereas, yeah, I appreciate that, but I have a better one. Right? And I get that. And it doesn't mean that we're not prepared, guys, because we have to be prepared. But here's my plan, and here's God's plan. Amen. And it doesn't mean that I can't submit my plans to God. And if God wants to rearrange them or say, Richard, that's a horrible plan, then let it be. Guys, but don't let your plan get in the way of God's plan. And I love, like he says here, everything I plan will come to pass. Man, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. And in our notes, I put down a, who are we comparing our God to? Because it's so easy when things are going good in your life, like, oh yeah, I'm almost going to put it even with God. There's no comparison. No matter what you have in life, it does not compare to what God has for us and who our God is. And that second point, I put like, who are we putting on the same level as our God? Because it's so easy, man. God is so faithful, and he blesses us in so many ways that even the things that he blesses us with, we want to put it equal with God. It doesn't belong there. Everything that is a gift from God, again, never measures up to God. Again, it doesn't mean that it can't be a blessing in your life, but it never measures up to who our God is. I always remember, like, yeah, man, we can allow the joy in the things that God brings our way, but it never compares to our God. The third point I put on there is, what God are we creating? And I tell our athletes all the time, sports makes a horrible God. It makes a horrible God because they can't do what you want it to do. There's no guarantees in it. And even when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, we all know that they all threw their gold in a pile and they burnt it because they wanted to be able to see a God. And sometimes we do the same thing, is that we want, man, if I just had something that I could see. And yet, man, we know that our God lives inside of us. Is that we don't need to see a God. We serve the God. And I think it's important to kind of look and ask ourselves, man, what God are we creating? Or who are we making a God? Guys, even in this world, so many times, things that God brings people to our lives, and we all of a sudden, we think that, man, that's the answer. Man is not the answer. He is the answer. So be reminded this morning that
God challenging you and I is that what God are we creating? And why would we even want to create another God if he is the God that we need? And the fourth one I put, are we standing on his plans that can't be stopped? What plan are you standing on right now? That you've put all your everything into one bucket and say, man, this plan has to work. And again, and it may, but what if it doesn't? If you're standing on that plan and everything that you're doing is relying on this one plan, I really advise you this morning, don't stand on any plan that you've made or I've made. Stand on the plan like when God says, man, I have a plan for your life. And I can guarantee you, if you trust my plan, you will see me do things in your life that you could never imagine it could happen. And I think it's important for us, as I think about these three words, the promise, right? Whose promise are you going to respond to? And the second point, will we live through the privilege that God has given us right now to be a mom, to be a dad, just to even to go to work, the privilege that you get to go to work tomorrow morning, that you get to represent Christ as an ambassador for the kingdom? Because if you wake up tomorrow and say, I have to go to work, you've missed it. I get to go to work tomorrow. Doesn't mean you like every part of your job, but it's a privilege to go out there and live this life that God's calling you to live, because he is leading you and guiding us to go out there and enjoy this journey. And I think a lot of times, like I said earlier, so there's three things that could be happening right now. Am I losing joy because I'm relying on someone else's promise? Could I be losing freedom and joy because I don't consider it a privilege to be where I'm at today? Could I be losing joy and freedom because I'm relying on my plan, not his plan? And it's so easy to do, guys, because I think even after 30-some years of just trying to figure this walk with God out, is that the more I understand that he's made me a promise that he'll never go back on, that he's made, given me the opportunity and the privilege to serve him every day. And that the last word that God's going to have is on the plan that he has for my life and your life. May we embrace where we're at today. But don't let things get in the way of your life, guys. Because I say this, man, we get one shot at this thing called life. Don't let anything steal it. The joy of the Lord has to be our strength. Because why? Because he made you a promise. He's giving you the privilege. And he has one plan for your life. And he's asking you, will you trust that plan? Don't let your plan get in the way. Guys, and I appreciate the opportunity to just encourage us this morning. But those are the three words that I want to leave you with. The promise, the privilege, and the plan that God's given you and I to go out there and run this race that no one else can run but you. Now, what an opportunity we get today to go out there and live this life called the Christian life, that we get to represent God, and that, my God, there is nothing that compares to him, that if tomorrow I wake up and say, God, I can't believe I get to serve you today. Let's go out there and enjoy the journey that God's given us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we're
so in awe.
Awesome. Awesome God. That we get to serve you. That we have the privilege to be called the children of God. That we get to be called the sons and daughters of God. That there is no one like our God. And Father, this morning, Father, I pray that, man, if we're struggling with the promise, maybe somebody made us a promise. Maybe we're responding to your promise the way someone broke a promise to us. God, you don't operate that way. You don't work that way, because your promises are always fulfilled. And Father, again, I just pray, if we don't consider it a privilege to serve you, that today before we leave, that we want to consider it a privilege to be able to serve you. And you're going to have the last word on the plans that you have for us. So, Father, will you just surround each and every one of us with divine wisdom, with divine protection, and divine faith to go out there and live the life that you want us to live. Father, we ask that if there's anybody here that who has never embraced the promises that you've made, that they would say yes to you today, that your promises are steadfast and immovable. So, Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So before we start our last song, they're going to play a video. Yes. That is awesome. Our God is awesome. He has risen.
That now
see. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so so love.